Pradhanam Purusham,
Param Pradhanam Purusham,
Daivam Karma Vicheshtitam,
Daivam Karma Vicheshtitam,
Etat Bhagavato Rupam,
Etat Bhagavato Rupam,
Brahmana Paramatmanaha,
Brahmana Paramatmanaha,
Param Pradhanam Purusham,
Param Pradhanam Purusham,
Daivam Karma Vicheshtitam.
No, you go like this.
Bhagavataha.
Bhagavataha.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Rupam.
Rupam.
Form
of.
Brahmana.
Ataha Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Gayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hi Jivadau Swayameva Spuratyata. It is not possible to understand the absolute, unlimited personality of Godhead with our relative, limited senses. Therefore, it is said that one has to see through the eyes of Shastra, Shastra Chakshus. So, a rationalist would say that this is circular reasoning. We accept Krishna as God. Why do we accept Krishna as God? Because Krishna says so. So, why do we accept, or how do we prove the existence of God? By making arguments from the scripture. And who created the scriptures? That Godhead. So your argument is just going around in a circle back to the beginning. So here it is said that the individual soul must approach the Supreme Purusha, or the Supreme Person. All living beings are born into ignorance. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. The moment that the soul comes in contact with the Mahatattva, he becomes covered. He becomes enmeshed, entangled in the three modes of material nature, sattvas, rajas, and tamaguna. He becomes subject to the pushes and pulls of the different senses. Vacho vegam, the urge to speak. Manasa krodha vegam, the urge to be angry. Jiva vegam, the urge to enjoy the tongue. Udaropasta vegam, the urge to enjoy pasta. So as long as one is under the influence of the external material energy, it is not possible for him to understand Adhoksaja, Krishna, who is above the modes of material nature. One can understand the Absolute Truth in three features, or let us say that realized souls understand the Absolute Truth in three features. Vedanti tat tatta vidas tattam yajnanam adyam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. This is called advaya jnana, or non-dual knowledge. Although Brahman is spirit, Paramatma is spirit, and Bhagavan is spirit, there is a distinction between the three. This can be understood by a story of a remote village in Goiânia. Maybe named Avadhyanya. So there was no train station there. So all the people who had to go to Brasilia or had to go to Sao Paulo, they would have to go by walking or go by bus or some other inconvenient method of travel. So then one day, the president's son got treated by João de Deus. So he decided to build a train station to Abadiania. Build a train. So none of the people of Abadiania, being very simple people, had ever seen a train before. They didn't know what it was. So after the government had laid the track, built a station, the first train was going to arrive in Abadiania, coming with a group of wealthy patients from Sao Paulo. So the train was supposed to arrive at about 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning, Brazilian standard time. Which means it could arrive at 3:30 or it could arrive at 11:30. So the villagers didn't want to stay up that late, so they appointed three men to go to the station to meet the first train. So in the middle of the night, when the train was approaching Abadiania, the first thing that the three men saw was a great white light coming down the track, and they all jumped for joy. And one man thought, "Now I have seen a train." And he went back to the village. Now I know what a train is. It's a great white light. But the two other men, they stayed on at the station, and as the train got closer, they heard the whistle of the train, and they saw the train coming down the track looking just like a long snake. And the second man thought, "Oh, now I know what the train is. It's a great white light with a big whistle and it looks like a long snake." So he also went running back to the village to tell the people about what the train was. But the third man, he stayed on at the station till the train pulled into the station, He met the conductor, he met the passengers, and he actually experienced what a train is. So all three of them were right, but they just had greater and lesser understanding of the train. So the absolute truth is Brahman. Krishna, mayatatamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. In my unmanifested form, I pervade the entire creation. But andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham, he is also the super soul within every atom, within every living being. In fact, I think he has a chain of supermarkets in Brazil called Super Soul.
Super soul.
What does that mean, super soul? I see these supermarkets everywhere called Super Soul.
Maybe it's Super Soul in South. So maybe it's Super South.
Super South?
Yeah.
As opposed to only a little bit south?
Well, it's abbreviation for a supermarket. They get super and then south. I don't know why. Supermarket South.
Oh. Looked really neat. Super, you drive up. Oh, Super Soul, we come to drop.
S-U-L?
Yeah, S-U-L.
Yeah.
I never got that idea. It was pretty smart. But Bhagavan Sri Krishna is the highest manifestation of Godhead. Whatever realization you achieve in Brahman, you can achieve in Paramatma and Bhagavan. And whatever realization you achieve in Brahman and Paramatma, that is also available in Bhagavan. So Bhagavan realization, the personality of Godhead, is the highest.
Brahman
Yeah, I think when it gets more technical, she's on the technical stuff. Okay. It's tough on me. Anyway, Krishna is, he says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravarta deiti matma vajante mam buddha bhava samandita. No other deity, no other personality in any scripture says, makes this statement, I am the source of everything. Jesus says, I am the Son of God. Muhammad says, I am the Messenger of God. Only Krishna says, I am the source of everything. Everything rests on me like pearls strung on a thread, just like neck beads on a thread. Everything is in Krishna, on Krishna. So, we have come to the end of the journey. We have to surrender to the Supreme Person. We have all been traveling for many, many lifetimes, Brahmanda Brahmite, throughout the universe. Now we have become Bhagyavan, or very fortunate. By the mercy of our Guru, Srila Prabhupada, we are getting the mercy of Krishna. Guru Krishna Kripai Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. There is no other religion, there is no other body of scriptures as perfect as the Vedic scriptures, Sanatana Dharma. So we have to let go of our material attachments and apply ourselves to these instructions, to this process of bhakti yoga. It is amazing how we will not let go of our attachments. In Africa, they have a technique for catching monkeys. They take a coconut and they make a little hole in one end of the coconut, just large enough so a monkey can get his hand in. And then they scrape everything out of the coconut. And then they put another tiny hole in the other end of the coconut and put a string, a strong piece of string, through that hole and tie a knot on the inside. And then they roast some nice, delicious peanuts and put them inside the coconut. And then they take that coconut and put it in an area of the forest which has been cleared so that the monkey can see it and smell it. Then they take the string and they hide in the bushes somewhere. The monkey smells the peanuts and comes running up to the coconut. And then he puts his hand in the coconut and grabs the peanuts. And then they start to pull the string and pull the coconut towards the bush where they are hiding. The monkey can't get his hand out of the coconut. All he has to do is let go of the peanuts, but he won't. So, we're attached to peanuts in this material world. And Maya is making us suffer in so many ways. And Krishna is calling us, Tamasi Ma Jyotir Gama, come out of your darkness, come to me, here is the way, here is my servant to guide you. We won't let go of the peanuts.
Krishna
So this false ego attachment is our ultimate enemy. Sometimes our progress in devotional service is also blocked. We are all here as individuals to serve Lord Jagannath. And our relationship with Jagannath is a personal and an individual relationship. There is no need to worry about other devotees and their relationship or to criticize them. As you know, the temple of Jagannath is very, very old, thousands of years old. So, some 500 years ago, actually about 600 years ago, there was a man living in Madras. His name was Dhananjaya Mehta. He was a big businessman. So he knew about the deity of Jagannath, but he was an atheist, sort of an atheist. You can say he was a foolish man. He thought his wealth would protect him. So on one particular occasion, his family members decided that they would take their vacation in Puri. So Dhananjaya went with his family members, and when they got to Puri, they saw the temple of Jagannath. So Dhananjaya, being proud of his wealth, being puffed up, he thought, I will show these foolish people. And he made a challenge that he would give 1,100,000 rupees for the bhoga offering of Lord Jagannath if they could spend the whole amount in one offering. So all the pujaris heard about this offer of Dhananjaya Mehta, and the whole town heard about it. The pujaris would generally spend around 2,000 rupees for the biggest offering of the day, the Rajbhoga offering. You know, Jagannath is served 56 times a day, chapan bhog, something like every 15 or 20 minutes there's another offering. So the pujaris thought that if we don't accept the man's offer, we will lose all this money to serve Lord Jagannath, and also Lord Jagannath's prestige will be diminished. So they tried to think how they could increase the cost of the offering. Even if they brought or made the best sweets and the best vegetables and made a very large offering, they could only think to raise it to 5,000 rupees. They were meeting and trying to think up something, and someone said, we will simply make the offering of sweets made from coconut milk. They calculated would only cost 10,000 rupees. So the chief pujari got very, very worried. So he went to Dhananjaya Mehta, who by that time was thinking of going back to Madras to his business, and he told him that we are making a plan tonight and tomorrow we will let you know. So then Dhananjaya Mehta was very happy. He knew that he had defeated the pujaris. And he decided, all right, I'll wait one more day. So that night, all the pujaris of Jagannath, they waited up, or they stayed up late at night, praying to Jagannath and begging him for guidance, how to create such a wonderful offering. At midnight, they had a special puja to Jagannath. And later that night, the head pujari drifted into sleep, and he had a dream that Lord Jagannath came to him. So he informed the pujari that you asked Dhananjaya Mehta to simply give me one piece of betel nut on a leaf, which they call pan. The pan is the leaf, the green leaf, and on top of it they have a very hard nut known as betel, which has a very intoxicating taste, and it's mixed with various spices, a paste made of various spices, and the pan is rolled up like a samosa, and people, usually it's meant to be offered to the deity, but also so many people in India eat it, and the mouth, the teeth become very red, and, you know. So Jagannath told the pujari, you asked Dhananjaya Mehta to give me one piece of pan, one offering of pan, which today, of course, in those days, one offering of pan couldn't cost more than 10 paisa. So a paisa, 10 paisa is 1/10 of a rupee. And Dhananjaya Mehta wanted to spend 100,000 rupees. So 10 paisa was nothing. But the sauce, the paste that is used to mix with the betel nut in the pan should be taken or should be made of crushed pearls taken from the forehead of a bull elephant. And the pujari was very ecstatic about his dream, and he went running to Dhananjaya Mehta, and he said, Jagannath has asked you to give him one piece of pan. But the pan should be made from the pearl dust taken from pearls that were got from the head of a bull elephant. Then Dhananjaya Mehta began to think that to make such a paste, I will require so many pearls. And not every bull elephant, maybe 1 in 100, will have a pearl growing inside his forehead. Elephant will cost me about 50,000 rupees. To buy hundreds and hundreds of bull elephants just to get enough pearl to make a paste for one piece of pan. So then Dhananjaya Mehta could understand that Lord Jagannath had defeated him. He immediately got all of his money that he had with him, and he went running towards the temple of Jagannath crying. Who knew about his challenge began to follow him out of curiosity. And he threw himself down on the temple floor in front of Lord Jagannath and begged for forgiveness. Not I was so puffed up and proud, thinking that I could do better than anyone, defeated me, and now I am begging you to accept my heart as a tiny offering, the betel, the blood, the red, my red heart as my betel offering. So, none of us should be proud.
True story. Happened 500 years ago.
Yeah, it was about 600, 1400 or 1300 something. I don't know if it's true, but it's in a book of stories about Lord Jagannath. Kunti Devi, in her prayers, says, Janma Aishwarya Shruta Sribir Edamana Madhapuman Naivarhati Abhidatum Vaitvam Akinchana Gocharam. Interested. If you still have material attachments for a high birth or wealth, material opulence, beauty, then you won't be able to worship the Lord sincerely. Niskinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajanon Mukasya. Niskinchana, akinchana, free from material attachment.